truth seekers. And welcome to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Here by the hair of our chinny chin chins. Broadcasting live from the left coast all this week. Well, at least tonight and tomorrow. And then it's Thanksgiving break. And Mike will be back with you next Monday. Until then, you got me broadcasting, as I say, live from K-Talk AM 1150's beautiful studios in downtown Burbank on the West Coast. Glad you could join us. We got a big show lined up for you tonight. Plenty of show. The trick will be to get it all in. What do you need to know? You need to know that we've got a live chat room going on at bradblog.com tonight. While our show is live and for the next 3 hours, stop on by. Just go over to bradblog.com, hit the first item there at the top, link on through. You'll see the chat room. Come on in and say hello to Dez and to Four Earth and Cambridge Knitter and Catfish Blues and Jeannie Dean, I think, will also be there momentarily if she's not already. She's also going to be joining us a little bit later on this show. Jeannie has been spending a lot of time down at Occupy LA. We've got some interesting new news concerning Occupy Los Angeles today. So we're going to be talking about that with her and some other occupiers. The LA City, I'll just give you a little tease here. The LA City Hall, or City Council rather, has offered a deal to them. And I'm putting deal in quotes right now because, well, I want to learn more about this before I offer you my opinion, but a deal that if they move off the City Hall lawn for $1 per year, they will lease to them 10,000 square feet of office space. Oh, and a farm that they can use to grow their own vegetables. Okie dokie. We'll find out more about that straight ahead. The LA City Council has been quite reasonable, we should say, with the demonstrators out there on City Hall. There has been no pepper spray. There's only been very few arrests. Nothing like the obnoxious assault on First Amendment rights that we've seen in occupations all over the country. And yes, we're going to be talking about that some more tonight. We're also going to be talking with Congressman Ted Deutsch a little bit later in this hour concerning his newly introduced, okay, stand back, here you go, you ready for this? His newly introduced constitutional amendment called Outlawing Corporate Cash, Undermining the Public Interest in Our Elections and Democracy Amendment. Or for short, that would be the Occupied Amendment. We're going to be speaking with Ted Deutsch about his hope, his amendment to get corporate money the hell out of our elections once and for all with this constitutional amendment. Coming up a little bit later this hour, that's Congressman Deutsch, the Democrat from Florida's 19th District, or as Stephen Colbert would say, the fighting 19th. What else do we have? Ah, yes, you can tweet us at The Brad Blog all night long. I will be doing my best to keep an eye on the Twitters as well as the bradblog.com chat room. And we'll be taking your calls a little bit later tonight for sure, one way or the other, at 877-520-1150. Don't call it now. Call it later. Because right now, we got some stuff to take care of. 877-520-1150 will be the phone number when it's time. Also, tonight's broadcast is sponsored by Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crises, a political thriller, a new fictional political thriller that you are going to want to read. Richard Averitt has been kind enough to donate a bunch of copies to the Brad Blog as a premium this week for us, for Mike Malloy listeners, signed copies. If you stop by bradblog.com, you can get yourself a copy of this thriller. And we will, we'll get it right out to you. But the thing you need to know is there's actually a character in the book by the name of Brad Friedman. He's an election integrity expert, and he informs the president-elect of the United States that there may have been a problem in Georgia on the touchscreen voting systems during that election. So check that out. Imagine Politique. Go to bradblog.com. Get yourself a copy. Support us here at the Mike Malloy Show and at the Brad Blog so I can do what I do. All right, Tony, are we getting all caught up? We were running late here, so we got all caught up. I know there is a Republican debate going on tonight. We'll try to give you any notable highlights. I know Tony has been scrambling before we went on air to get a couple, just so you won't miss anything here on The Mike Malloy Show, a couple of the most notable bits and pieces, and we'll try to do this throughout the night. He's put together a montage of some of the most important moments. So, Tony, you have that ready? Here we go. This is actually, you know what? Let's go live right now. We'll come back to your clips. Let's go live right now to the GOP debate on CNN in Washington, D.C. Okay, wait. I don't think, I'm not sure. Is that the, I don't think that's the, wait, maybe we've got, we're, some confusion here. All right, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think that was the GOP debate in Washington D.C. tonight. It might be though. We'll try to get confirm on that a little bit later in the show. All right, if we're wrong on that, that's my mistake. I'll take credit for that. Last night, by the way, I started the show with a bit of a joke, an announcement. I had said that we had breaking news that Congress had declared pepper spray to be a vegetable, which I thought was kind of a funny line, kind of a funny joke, given that cops all over this country are violating our Constitution by torturing students. The situation at UC Davis that we will be talking about again tonight a little bit is just appalling. So I thought that was a pretty funny joke. However, meanwhile, over on CNN, incredibly enough, Megyn Kelly was on O'Reilly's show yesterday. And what's that? Oh, what did I say? CNN? Oh, okay. No, CNN, they got something else. They got a whole Looney Tunes. It was on Fox. That's right. Fox had Megyn Kelly talking to Bill O'Reilly about this appalling incident at UC Davis. Now, mind you, I made a joke. Congress declared pepper spray to be a vegetable. She goes on with Bill O'Reilly not joking, and this happened.
First of all, pepper spray, that just burns your eyes, right?
Right. I mean, it's like a derivative of actual pepper. It's a food product, essentially. But a lot of experts are looking at that and saying, is that the real deal? Has it been diluted? Because
they should have more of a reaction.
That's really beside the point.
So it's a food product. It's just a food product, America. Do not be alarmed. They're just spraying. They didn't have any Pam. They were going to use Pam on these peaceful protesters. But instead, they're just using a food product, pepper spray. Capsaicin, which, by the way, as Kate Shepard told us over at Grist, I believe it was today, the pepper spray that they use is 1,000 times hotter than a jalapeno pepper. And it's damn dangerous. It was certainly damn dangerous, or it seems to have been damn dangerous to one woman, a pregnant woman up in Seattle, who was sprayed by cops last week at Occupy Seattle. You may have heard the story of Dorley Rainey, the 84-year-old woman who was sprayed by these cops. Well, at the same time, a woman by the name of Jennifer Fox, a 19-year-old woman protester who was pregnant, was sprayed with pepper spray along with Dorley Rainey. She was kicked. She was shoved by cops. She said, we marched to Westlake, we took up the four-way stop, and the cops started moving in. When the cops moved in, no one could get out. I got close to the cops and said, I'm pregnant, I need to get out of here. They wouldn't let me out, she said. One officer kicked me in the stomach. Another officer threw his bike into my stomach, then both teamed up and pepper sprayed my face. Later, my guy who did ultrasound said everything was fine until yesterday. Then I went back and, she learned that apparently she's had a miscarriage. Now, it should be noted, as Seattle Weekly points out, that Fox's account has not yet been verified and that it is only her account. Fox is being pepper sprayed was widely reported last week, along with Dorley Rainey, the 84-year-old, and United Methodist pastor Rich Lang, who was also pepper sprayed in that incident. A video claiming to show the aftermath of foxes being sprayed and showing a writhing woman being loaded into an ambulance has been posted on YouTube. She went to Harborview Hospital shortly after the incident, was given an ultrasound that confirmed that her baby was fine. And then on Sunday, she said she developed terrible cramps and called an ambulance. And back at Harborview, she says that the news now is devastating. They took me back to Harborview. They did an ultrasound, and they said there was no heartbeat, Fox says to the Seattle Weekly, explaining the reason the doctors gave her. Quote, they said it was the pepper spray, the bike incident, and the kick. So the Occupy movement may have its first fatality in Jennifer Fox, at least Jennifer Fox's child. We're going to take a quick break. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. A whole lot more show ahead. Glad you could join us. Stay tuned. So we have our first possible fatality at an Occupy event. The Jennifer Fox, 19-year-old, who had a miscarriage this week after being kicked in the stomach by cops and pepper sprayed last week at Occupy Seattle. And, of course, all of this violence against peaceful demonstrators, violence that has been started by police in city after city, of being downplayed over in Fox News. Megyn Kelly, I'll play that clip one more time. This is Megyn Kelly speaking to Bill O'Reilly about the pepper spray.
First of all, pepper spray, that just burns your eyes, right?
Right. I mean, it's like a derivative of actual pepper. It's a food product, essentially. But a lot of experts are looking at that and saying, is that the real deal? Has it been diluted because...
Yeah, they should have more of a reaction.
Yeah,
than
but
that.
That's really beside the point.
It was diluted. They should have had more of a reaction. You know what? Let's line up Bill O'Reilly and Megyn Kelly and set them down, and let's see how they react. Let's see how they react when they're sitting there fighting for something that they believe in. Oh, wait, they don't believe in anything. So, yeah, they'd probably run like scared little girls. These students, these brave students at UC Davis, 20 of them, blinded by this idiot, this cop, Lieutenant Pike, and his police chief, Annette Spacuzza, who have been placed on administrative leave, spraying indiscriminately in their faces. What has this world come to? I, couldn't stop asking myself that last night. Today is the 48th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And in the bradblog.com chat room, Valley Girl reminds us of this quote from JFK. He said, quote, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Good to keep in mind. I was very critical last night of Barack Obama, who has not done a whole hell of a lot for the occupation, who has not spoken out for them. He did, however, when there was violence against peaceful protesters in Egypt last January, he had something to say about it.
I want to be very clear in calling upon the Egyptian authorities to refrain from any violence against peaceful protesters. The people of Egypt have rights that are universal. That includes the right to peaceful assembly and association, the right to free speech, and the ability to determine their own destiny. These are human rights, and the United States will stand up for them everywhere.
Human rights that the United States will stand up for everywhere. Will we stand up for it here in our own country, Mr. President? Today, the President of the United States was speaking in New Hampshire when he was interrupted by Occupy protesters. You've been seeing these mic checks they've been doing on politicians all around the country. Well, today, Barack Obama got his taste of a mic check.
Okay, it's okay. That's all right.
We started too forward. There we go. We'll try again.
Before I came to school today, I had coffee.
Mike check!
No, it's okay. That's okay.
Now some of the Obama supporters are trying to shout down the occupiers, and Obama's actually taking this very well. He's smiling. There's video of this from CBS online. He's
okay, guys.
Taking it very well.
It's okay. Okay, it's okay. That's all right. Listen, I'm going to be talking about a whole range of things today, and I appreciate you guys making your point. Let me go ahead and make mine, all right? And I'll listen to you. You listen to me, all right? Now.
There you go. He actually took that in very good spirit, so I will give him credit there. What the protesters had intended to go on to say was that, quote, protesters have been arrested while bankers continue to destroy the American economy. Your silence sends the message that police brutality is acceptable. Banks got bailed out. We got sold out. That's what they intended to say. I hope they got that message to the president. I hope he begins to speak out about what's happening in the streets of the United States. Remember what JFK said, killed 48 years ago today. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. I'm Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com, sitting in for Mike Malloy. We're going to be joined hopefully momentarily here with Congressman Ted Deutch about his new Occupied Amendment. Stay tuned.
Cannon through the bathroom window.
All right. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for the vacationing Mike Malloy. It is I, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker from BradBlog.com. Glad you could join us here this evening. And we are delighted to be joined tonight by Congressman Ted Deutch, Democrat from the state of Florida, the great state of Florida, from the great 19th congressional district, or as Stephen Colbert would say, the fighting 19th. Ted, Congressman Deutch joins us to discuss his newly introduced, get ready for this, outlawing corporate cash undermining the public interest in our elections and democracy amendment. That would be the Occupied Amendment. Well done, Congressman, and welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thanks, Brad. It's great to be with you. That was it is a mouthful, but it's worth saying.
Yeah, you know what? It is. And whoever came up with that acronym in your office, give them a raise. Man.
I will be sure to pass that on, and so appreciate that very much. That,
nailed it with that one. So that's the Occupied Amendment. And we'll go through. You've got four sections to this amendment. And by the way, thank you, Congressman, for introducing this. Four sections here. It's very short, and we can sort of go through them piece by piece. But basically, it's meant to declare corporations are not people, and to get corporate money the hell out of our electoral system. Now, why? As if this question needs to be asked. But why, sir, are you proposing this amendment at this time?
Yeah, gee, Brad, I'm assuming that's a rhetorical question.
Softballs first, sir.
Listen, I think if you look at what's been going on around the country over the past few weeks and months, you see people out in the streets protesting, whether they're in New York. I mean, Occupy Wall Street gets all the attention. You know, there's an Occupy Delray Beach and an Occupy Lake Worth all over the country. And everything that they're out talking about, the income inequality in our country and the fact that policies that are made are made to favor the 1%, all of that really stems from a systemic problem, and that is that while they're out occupying different cities around the country, it's the corporations that have been occupying Washington for far too long. And the idea behind this amendment was to try to swing things the other way and to give our government back to the people.
And were you actually, I know that this is a response, it will hopefully sort of nullify the Citizens United decision, but were you actually spurred by the occupations to bring forward this amendment, or was this something you had planned previously in response to this horrible Supreme Court decision on Citizens United?
Well, you know, I introduced a constitutional amendment, a different version, last year that was meant to overturn Citizens United. But all it really did was it gave the Congress the ability to regulate, to come back in and to regulate campaign finance. That's not enough. And what these protests showed us is that we need to be bold. And I've had, as I'm sure you can imagine, I've had people ask me all the time, well, what do you think Occupy Wall Street means, and what are they really about?
Yeah.
What are they really trying to accomplish? And so we got to thinking about the bigger issues, and we wanted to come up with something that we thought could really rally support, not just from the Occupy folks, but really from across the political spectrum. There's no one who looks at Washington right now and doesn't believe the corporations have too much power, and that's what we're trying to change.
All right. We're speaking with Congressman Ted Deutsch, Democrat from the great state of Florida, the 19th Congressional District. Let's go through some of these. That, like I say, there's four sections. Each one, I think, is no longer than a sentence in the Occupied Amendment. So let's read through this. Would you like to read the sentence, or shall I and then ask you a question about it? Because I got it right in front of me.
You've got the beautiful radio voice. Why don't you go ahead and read it, and I'll just respond.
All right. Section 1 here, corporations are not people. The rights protected by the Constitution of the United States are the rights of natural persons and do not extend to for-profit corporations, limited liability companies, or other private entities established for business purposes or to promote business interests under the laws of any state, the United States, or any foreign state. That one seems pretty clear. Would you like to explain that, or shall I get to my question on it?
Well, here's the thing about this one, Brad.
Yeah.
Most people, when you tell them that corporations aren't people,
mm-hmm.
Or you suggest that there are those like Mitt Romney who believe otherwise,
right.
they think that you're making it up. Of course, the Constitution, which starts with "We the People,"
right,
was never meant to grant protected rights to corporations, and that's really what we're making clear once and for all in this section.
Okay, now it will take away the rights from corporations, for-profit corporations. What about nonprofit corporations? What about unions? Would this amendment apply to those groups who right now can nonprofits and in unions certainly can put a lot
sure.
of money into our elections?
Sure. The amendment actually does get at those in the later section, which we'll get to.
Okay.
But the main point here is that for-profit corporations are formed for business purposes. They're formed to do business. They're formed to make money. And they shouldn't be allowed to use their profits, their dollars from their corporate treasury to go in and spend unlimited amounts to dictate the outcome of an election. Nonprofits and unions are different. Unions are a collection of individuals. It's individuals that are protected by the Constitution. This amendment is going to give Congress the ability to regulate the amount spent by individuals and nonprofits and unions, but it's going to deal with that separately, because the one thing that's very clear is that for-profit corporations shouldn't be allowed to spend a nickel.
Going on to the section 2 here, this is the corporations can be regulated by people, and some of this, Congress, it just sounds so dumb, doesn't it? I mean, that you have to actually say, yes, corporations can be regulated by people. Such corporate and other private entities established under law are subject to regulation by the people through the legislative process, so long as such regulations are consistent with the powers of Congress and the states and do not limit the freedom of the press. Again, seems like a no-brainer. However, question for you on this one.
Yeah.
Do not limit the freedom of the press. Well, can't one of these giant media outfits, Comcast or Clear Channel, say, hey, we're the press, putting on these restrictions on where we can spend our free speech, that's a violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution?
Sure, that's exactly why we put this in here, because the purpose of this amendment clearly is not to restrict the ability of the press to report and the press to state opinions for the benefit of those who read it or listen to it,
mm-hmm.
View it. The purpose is to tell corporations that they're subject to the regulations that people pass. The whole idea here is for-profit corporations aren't people, and because they're not people, they don't have constitutionally protected rights. So that when Congress passes a law meant to protect the environment, or Congress passes a law meant to provide some workplace safety, then the corporation can't come back and say, well, wait a second, you're interfering with our constitutional rights. That's what it's meant to get at. And I think the freedom of press can be, and in fact is, going to be protected here, while at the same time we ensure that Congress can act on behalf of the people.
All right, Section 3, corporate prohibition in electioneering. Such corporate and other private entities shall be prohibited from making contributions or expenditures in any election of any candidate for public office or the vote upon ballot measure submitted to the people. So that just basically says they cannot spend their money on any election. Is that right?
That's the big one. No, you can't spend your money on any election. That means under Citizens United, you right now corporations can spend unlimited amounts. The direction the court is headed, if we don't act now, it's likely that some future court will probably tell corporations that they can give directly to candidates. The door's
sure.
already been opened.
Yeah.
This language will slam that door shut.
Because, in fact, Citizens United gutted the McCain-Feingold bill, where they had a lot of restrictions on how money could be spent. Section 4 speaks to that. Congress and the states shall have the power to regulate and set limits on all election contributions and expenditures, including a candidate's own spending, and to authorize the establishment of political committees to receive, spend, and publicly disclose the sources of those contributions and expenditures. In other words, that allows Congress to make laws about how campaign spending can occur, correct?
That's correct. What it also does is it allows Congress to act so that individuals like the Koch brothers, for example, can't decide to spend millions, tens of millions or more of their own money to get around the earlier prohibition and to dictate the outcome of elections. That's what we're trying to do. The other thing that we do here is, Brad, is that corporations cannot contribute. Since they cannot contribute, that means they can't do it directly. And if they try to get around it by giving to a super PAC, they're still going to be violating what would be the 28th Amendment of the Constitution.
Gotcha. All right. I've got just a minute or two here. So
sure.
Let me ask, how are the do you have any co-sponsors yet for this amendment?
No, not yet. I'll tell you, I introduced this Friday before we left Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You can only introduce legislation when Congress is in session, and we're back home in our districts this week. I wanted to get it in so that we could really start working it this coming week. And a funny thing happened. Over the weekend on the web, this thing really took off. People, I think, are desperate for some really positive step forwards to return the government back to where it belongs, back to the citizens. And so we don't have any co-sponsors yet, but we're moving forward. I think it should be up now, the OccupyTheAmendment.org.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be collecting names and urging people to go out and get their members of Congress to co-sponsor this. It's got to be a grassroots effort, and given what we've seen so far, I think there's real enthusiasm for it.
It's the OccupyTheAmendment.org?
Correct.
TheOccupiedAmendment.org. Okay, because it does have a long road here. It's got to be approved if it were to be successful in both the House and Senate by a two-thirds majority and then ratified by three-fourths of the states. So this is a long-term project. It's going to need a lot of folks behind it. So check it out at TheOccupiedAmendment.org. Congressman, I want to thank you for taking the time here to explain this to us. And please let me know how I can help with this, because this is the sort of thing that needs to be done. And I know that people can argue about some of the language here, but basically what we're talking about is the obvious, or what should have been the obvious prior to Citizens United, and something like this needs to happen. I hope the folks in Occupy can coalesce behind this. Very quickly, I see that you served previously in the Florida Senate, your first term, Congressman, this session, correct?
I was elected in a special election last April, then reelected in November.
Okay.
But, haven't been there that long, but came in after having tried to stand up to the special interests in Tallahassee and continuing those fights up in D.C. now.
Yeah. Did you work with my friend Tom Feeney while you were in the Florida Senate?
I know Tom Feeney. Uh-huh. We didn't serve together, but if you can convince him to get behind this, I'll be impressed.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just hoping he stays out of jail. Not really. All right, Congressman, thank you again for your time. TheOccupiedAmendment.org. Please stay in touch as this moves forward, as I say, and let me know what I can do at bradblog.com or elsewhere to help support this effort. Thank you, sir.
I will. Thanks so much, Brad. Appreciate it.
Great. Glad to have you.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
And to you, sir. Thanks. Good reminder. I forgot. All right. Very good. You know what? The Occupied Amendment. I know that the occupiers have been looking for a demand. Well, they haven't been looking. They've been trying to narrow them down from, 30 years of necessary demands. Well, something like this, a constitutional amendment, a simple one, whether it's this one or another one, needs to happen. And the Occupied Amendment, outlawing corporate cash, undermining the public interest in our elections and democracy. If you get this one taken care of, folks, I think everything in this nation begins to turn around. Corporations, it turns out, are not people. Man. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. It's 53 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Just going through some of the comments in the chat room at Bradblog based on Congressman Deutsch's new amendment, the Occupied Amendment, or outlawing corporate cash, undermining the public interest in our elections and democracy amendment. Yeah, you think it's undermining the public interest in our elections and democracy? Yes, I think so. All right, so I was going through some of the comments there, and For Earth was asking in the chat room why he didn't say human beings. And sorry, Earthy, that I didn't see that prior. I would have asked him. The Section 1 of this amendment says, the rights protected by the Constitution of the United States are the rights of natural persons, and do not extend to for-profit corporations, limited liability companies, or other private entities established for business purposes or to promote business interests under the laws of any state, the United States, or any foreign state. So are the rights in the Constitution essentially apply to natural persons? So why not human beings? Well, I can't speak for the congressman, but I have heard this debate happen in the past. I've, suggested we could have a constitutional amendment as simple as the rights of this Constitution apply to human beings only. And of course, when I brought this up to somebody, they said, well, then now you're going to start fighting about what's a human being. When does it become a human being? Which, we just saw that fight down in Mississippi, that personhood amendment that was, fighting to give rights to zygotes, all the same rights to zygotes that corporations enjoy. So that's, you know, and so I think that he might have just been skirting the issue here by saying that the United States, the rights protected by the Constitution are the rights of natural persons versus unnatural persons like a corporation. So Four Earth then went on to say, call me a skeptic, but it's never going to happen. Well, you're a skeptic, Four Earth. I would say this to you. Yeah, you're probably right. It's a tough road to climb. And I don't think the last constitutional amendment was 1992, if I remember. And I'm trying to even remember what the heck it was. But these things are not passed easily, and they should not be passed easily. But as it turns out, we've got thousands and thousands of Americans in the streets right now who are raising holy hell about what has gone on in this country, about what is going on in this country that is not getting better, that is getting worse. Because as all the occupiers are out there raising holy hell, you know, Fox News is on the air lying about them, calling them violent rather than the police who are really causing all the violence out there. And in the meantime, these pretend elections are going on. We've got a CNN Republican debate is finishing up tonight where, you know, they might as well not even know there are anybody out there on the streets at all. They're out there working for the corporate interests. The occupations have not made it into their bubble, into their little election bubble, and it needs to. I was delighted to see those occupiers show up today at Obama's speech up in New Hampshire and do the mic check up there for him. That's what needs to happen, and occupiers need to begin to coalesce around an idea. And if one idea doesn't underscore everything they stand for, that corporations are not people and that corporations have no goddamn place in our elections, then I don't know what does. Let's get this together, people. We've got to move this forward. We've got to break the bubble of these phonies and these pretenders that are running our government right now. Something has to give. I think this sounds like a great idea, but we'll see. We'll talk to you about it more later in the show, and we will be joined in the next hour by some of those occupiers themselves right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad, in for Mike. Stay with us. Six minutes after the hour, welcome back, Truth Seekers, to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your public airwaves from the left coast here, broadcasting once more tonight and tomorrow, leading up to Thanksgiving, and Mike Malloy will be back next week. Please stop on by our bradblog.com chat room, where we'd love to see you there. You can also tweet me at the Bradblog, but if you go to bradblog.com, you'll see a bunch of folks in there all having a good time. Click through that very first item. It's easy to find. If you can't find it, then nobody really wants to talk to you in that chat room anyway, because you're just too dumb. No, you're not. Come on by. We'd love to see you. Tonight's broadcast and tomorrow's is sponsored in no small part by Richard Averitt, the author of Imagine Politique, American Democracy, Politics in Crisis, political thriller, which Ernie Canning of Brad Blog says has an explosive ending that makes this a must-read. It offers a fundamental argument against compromising of the core principles of democratic governance. And if that isn't enough to make you interested in this book kicks off with a three-way race, by the way, between a Republican, a Democrat, and an independent progressive running for president of the United States, Not to give too much away, but the Independent Progressive is announced the winner on election night. Until this guy, well, here's the way Ernie Canning wrote about it in his review of the book. We find the fictional Zach Barrett confronted with ethical dilemmas, such as when he learns from a fictional Brad Friedman that there is a distinct possibility of vote flipping on Georgia's 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting systems, which may have given the state to the GOP candidate. Interested yet? Check out this book. Go to bradblog.com. Richard Averitt is allowing us to sell these as a premium. He will be signing the books. We'll be sending them out to you in time for Christmas, in time for your right-wing brother-in-law who may need to read a book like this. Oh, and you do too. So you'll see the link right at the top of Brad Blog for this book. Please buy it. Help out progressive media, progressive radio, progressive blogging, and all of that. We're going to be joined a little bit later in this hour by Jeannie Dean, one of the occupiers at Occupy LA. An interesting turn of events happened there today. You know, they've been ignoring Occupy LA in the news. Why? Because they're getting along with everybody, because the city council passed a resolution pretty much days after the occupation set up on the lawn outside of City Hall in support of the occupiers, in support of Occupy Wall Street. So there haven't been the violent confrontations, so nobody's paying attention to them. However, some new news today may change things a little bit, so we'll be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. I should note the GOP presidential candidates have just finished facing off in Washington, D.C. Very, very important debate. It is, I think, the 37th Republican debate this year. No doubt they'll have everything worked out tonight. Tony was kind enough to put together some of the highlights from the just completed debate. I think he's got that. You have the some of those here, the highlights, from that that would have been an entertaining debate had we seen that, but no, that wasn't it. Our mistake. Once again, we apologize for that broadcasting error. We'll make sure that does not happen again. All right. Well, I got somebody on the phone here. I didn't even ask for calls because I got a lot of stuff to get to. But somebody calling in from Seattle, from Occupy Seattle, with a note here from the call screener. Mike asked him to call in. I guess that's Mike Malloy. Now, it's a pretty good trick if that's the oh, wait, I can't go to Mike because I got Howie. Oh, hang on here. Okay, we got Howie. I didn't know that. Hang on, Mark. Howie Klein from downwithtyranny.com has been going through the pain of watching tonight's GOP debate. He wanted to check in, or I wanted him to check in, to let us know the highlights, lowlights, or who screwed up the most. So our buddy Howie Klein joins us very quickly. Hey, Howie, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thanks, Brad. Nice to see you. Nice to talk to you, I mean.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, you're not seeing me today. You're not in the studio today. But you're cranky. Did you sit through all 2 hours of that debate?
I did. I at least listened to the whole thing. I can't look at those people. But it's on in the other room, and I'm sitting and tweeting away, and I heard every word of it and tweeted it.
Yeah? How did it go?
It went as expected. I mean, you know, a couple of days ago, someone told me someone on the radio said there are literally 20 more of these debates, and they're kind of sad. I mean, does it count as a real debate if Michelle Bachmann doesn't start screaming about Obamacare at least a few times? But this one was about national security again.
Right.
And it's kind of sad. I mean, none of them know anything about national security. You know, I mean, this is a crowd where that makes a crackpot like Ron Paul look like he's a sane, rational person. Huntsman doesn't even belong on the same stage with the rest of these clowns. They're all pathetic. So who made the biggest boo-boo? Now they're calling him the winner of tonight's debate. Newt Gingrich is being called the winner, but he seemed to make a big boo-boo. Remember, the beginning of the decline of Rick Perry was when he said something about how Republicans who want to send everybody back, or no, who don't agree with letting Latino students go to school.
Right. He had his own version of the DREAM Act.
You know, they're heartless.
That they don't have a heart, right.
Well, Newt Gingrich said something like that tonight. He said no one is serious. No one would be serious if they want to send back people that have been here for a couple of decades. He said, you know, some of these people have been our neighbors and they have gone to churches. Well, he's right, except he's not describing the Republican base. They do want to send people back. They want to send everybody back. They want to send 14 million people back to wherever they came from. And if Newt Gingrich doesn't understand that, I don't know what kind of a historian he is, but that was the beginning of the end for Rick Perry, and I think it's going to be the beginning of the end for Newt Gingrich as well.
Really? You got a sense that that the folks heard that and that the way... Yeah, because I was actually surprised after that debate where Perry said, oh, you don't have a heart if you don't want to put these kids to school. And he was talking about, I think, kids who actually are legal here because they were born here, but they their parents were... do I remember that correctly, that their parents were illegal?
I'm talking about them and people brought, you know, their infant children here as well.
Right. Oh, okay, so they were brought here as infants, and he said, you don't have a heart if you don't want to put them, you know, through school. We either, you know, help them now, or we're going to pay for it later in the jail system or the legal system and so forth.
And he was completely correct.
Yeah.
And he'd be right in terms of most Americans, but this is, remember, you're not dealing with most Americans. You're dealing with this insane little Republican base who votes in the Republican primaries, and that's why that was the end of his campaign.
It destroyed him. It absolutely destroyed him. And I didn't even see that coming. I had no idea that his polls would start dropping. So you're predicting, or people are actually saying on CNN now that they think this might come to cost Newt in the morning.
Immediately on Twitter.
Yeah.
I just heard on CNN that Michelle Bachmann, or whoever runs her campaign for her, immediately sent out a press release to that effect as well, reminding people that Newt Gingrich is opening the door to amnesty.
Okay. Yes, amnesty. All right. So that's that you think, you predict, that's the big highlight, where there was no other notable gaffes or fights. Paul.
There was one, but I mean, who cares what Rick Perry says, but anymore since he's so out of it. But
Santorum, did Santorum punch anybody in the face or anything like that?
He was pretty well ignored.
Okay.
Rick Perry said something that was insane about a no-fly zone over Syria. And I don't think he understands that a no-fly zone means you shoot down airplanes that, I mean, Rick Perry is an idiot, and actually kind of made fun of him and said maybe there should be a no-drive zone because they have 500 tanks. But that was one of the highlights tonight, the no-fly zone over Syria. Even these Republicans, all of them kind of agree that Rick Perry is insane.
Well, listen, I don't think Howie Klein from Down With Tyranny, I don't, these predictions, I think predictions are complete and utter nonsense. That said, Howie, what's your prediction? Who's going to end up winning this clown car circus?
Well, I don't think there was ever any doubt that the nominee would be Rick Perry. He will be the nominee. You could have said that on the first day of this silliness.
Wait, you mean Mitt Romney?
I do mean Mitt Romney.
Okay. All right. So
I'm sorry, not Rick Perry. He won't be anything. So it's really like more of a question of who is going to be Mitt Romney's vice presidential nominee.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it was anybody on that stage today.
Really?
I think they would like that. I would think they would all like that. But I think he's shrewd enough to run from these crazy people.
So Mitt Romney wins and chooses a vice president who is not on that stage. That's your prediction.
He'll pick some white bread candidate like Mitch Daniels or something like that, or that that fat governor of New Jersey. I can't remember his name. Someone
Chris Christie.
Yeah, Chris Christie.
All right. Okay, Howie Klein, what's your Twitter name there? You're Down With Tyranny over on...
Down With Tyranny, yep. At Down With Tyranny, that's me.
And at downwithtyranny.com. Hey, Howie, thanks. I appreciate the quick update on that, and sorry you had to sit through that for 2 hours.
No problem. I'm going to get dinner.
Go get it, brother. All right. Take care. Howie Klein of downwithtyranny.com. Whole bunch of Mike Malloy Show straight ahead. Stay with us. Boom, 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 boom.
Bum, 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 I feel free. Bum, 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 I feel free. Bum, 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 I feel free. Bum, 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 I feel free. Bum, 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 I feel free. Bum, 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 I feel free.
Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. As Occupation Nation continues, 22 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy tonight. Please stop on by BradBlog.com. Consider buying a copy of Imagine Politique. You won't be sorry that you did, and you will be supporting progressive radio, progressive journalism, blogging, troublemaking, and muckraking, and all the rest. Okay, we got a call here from Mark Teller Canfield in Seattle, and the Desi has up on the call screen that Mike asked him to call in. Now, I don't know if, we'll find out here. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. Did Mike Malloy actually ask you to call in, or is that, did you just crack the code on how to move straight to the top of the line here, sir?
No, actually, I think the last time I talked to him was the night that I got pepper sprayed along with Doyle Rainey.
Oh, brother.
Up in Seattle. I had a sort of a hoarse voice, but I talked anyway, and he asked me to keep him updated and call back in and let him know what was going on.
Thank you. I'm glad you did. You're with the Occupy Seattle Media Group and Huffington yes. Post, I see. And so I'm sorry you were pepper sprayed along with Doyle Rainey and with Jennifer Fox, who we are told was the 19-year-old Occupy Seattle protester who was 3 months pregnant at the time of the pepper spraying about 10 days ago. And we learned today that apparently she had a miscarriage, which she says, at least, that the doctors attribute to the pepper spray, to being kicked by cops in the stomach and so forth. So what do you have any new news on that, Mark?
Well, she's in the process of getting those medical records from Harborview Hospital here in mm-hmm. Seattle. And the video is definitely out there on the web, as you probably know, so it's pretty easy for people to see.
Yeah.
What's disconcerting to me is that we had actually – the night that Durley and Jennifer were pepper sprayed was a peaceful demonstration. I was there too, and it was also pepper sprayed. A couple days later, we actually marched to the police department and demanded that we be a part of the review of the Office for Professional Accountability, in order, the Civilian Police Review Board, in order to be in on this investigation and find out who is giving the orders here in Seattle to use pepper spray on nonviolent and peaceful demonstrators. Because, you know, using pepper spray on 84-year-old women like Doyle Rainey
yeah.
and on Jennifer, who's a good friend of mine, by the way, my heart goes out to her.
Yeah.
This is a tragedy, and it shouldn't be happening. And we're hoping that across the United States and in all of these cities that people will go to their city council, go to their mayors, go to the police department and demand accountability. I mean, we really do need to take our issues to the people that are making those decisions and put pressure on them. Because anybody who's out in the street trying to practice their First Amendment right to freedom of speech and assembly, or even people who are practicing nonviolent civil disobedience, don't deserve to be tortured and don't just deserve to have rubber bullets fired at them or tear gas yeah. canisters or pepper spray. People know that they're breaking the law if they're sitting in the street and that they will be arrested, but they do not expect to be assaulted by police. That's not what they want, and that's not, I hope, what the police departments around the country want.
And this is exactly what it is. It is assault, and I'm glad you used the word torture, because what we saw happen certainly at UC Davis, that to me was a blatantly just torture against those kids by those cops. Were you doing anything? I mean, we know that up in Oakland, the police chief lied about rocks and bottles being thrown at them before they fired tear gas against peaceful demonstrators. That was a lie. We showed that at BradBlog.com. The police chief down at UC Davis blatantly lied about the reasons the cops used the pepper spray. What is the ostensible reason? I've only got about a minute here at best. Mark Taylor Canfield, what is the reason that the cops gave when they pepper sprayed you and 84-year-old Doyle Rainey and Jennifer Fox and so forth? What was their excuse?
They were trying to, quote, clear the intersection, and people at that point had already pretty much made the decision that they were leaving the intersection anyway. I had been involved in that demonstration, and I was actually on the sidewalk when I got pepper sprayed. So in my individual case, I was not breaking any laws at the time. It was just a way to disperse the crowd and to stop the protest, and they need to understand that it's only giving the protests more publicity and bringing more people to support. And by the way, in Seattle, our encampment is under threat right now of being evicted from Seattle Central Community College. So I wanted to let people across the country know that we have 140 tents there. We're one of the largest occupations in the country, and we are now under duress, just like folks in Zuccotti Park and people in Oakland and all over the rest of the country.
Thanks, Mark. I got to get to a hard break here. Follow Mark's reports at MTC, that's MTSEA, on Twitter. Thanks for keeping up the occupation out there, Mark, and thanks for checking in. Greatly appreciated, sir.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, we're going to be back with Jeannie Dean. More occupation on The Molloy Show right now.
Smiles await you when you rise. Sleep pretty, darling. Do not...
Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, occupying your public airwaves tonight and tomorrow night, when we will be joined tomorrow night, by the way, by the lovely Catherine Cryer, of formerly of CNN and of Court TV, formerly a federal judge. I loves Catherine Cryer. Can't wait to talk to her tomorrow night. And, well, I've been going back and forth with a few other people. I don't want to give anything away. We'll see who else we may have tomorrow night. Or maybe you'll just have me. Get used to it. How bad could that be? Okay, what other business? Tonight's show is sponsored by Imagine Politique, a political thriller which has election fraud at its very core, and actually features a character named Brad Friedman, who gives it straight to the president-elect, the independent progressive president-elect, I should add, in a three-way race. And by the way, we don't want to give too much about the book away, but it portends Occupy Wall Street. It has to do with a lot of uprisings and a lot of people around this country. So it's just in time for Christmas. So go to bradblog.com, buy yourself a signed copy there, and support us all. Okay. What do we got? That's it. Okay. Now we can get on with our business. Stop by the bradblog.com chat room. Tweet us at the Brad Blog. Joining me now is, speaking of lovely, the lovely Jeannie Dean, a longtime friend of the Brad Blog, certainly a great election integrity activist across this nation. I mean, have camera, will travel. That's kind of Jeannie Dean's...
That's my motto.
It is, man. From Florida to New Hampshire, now out here in L.A.
And Wisconsin. And
Wisconsin,
you and I
thank
both
you.
Been working together to right. track all of the hooey.
Hooey indeed. Yes. But now, for the moment, your attention has been turned to the Occupy movement. I know you've been spending a lot of time out at Occupy L.A.
Yes, I have.
Where, and you've been paying attention, unlike the rest of the world who's paying no attention to Occupy L.A., because... It's just all going too well. Everybody's being nice to them.
I have been told that from several media people, that because we're not getting maced in the face on a regular basis, we're not really all that news.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, why the hell couldn't other city councils around the country have figured this out? The L.A. City Council immediately came out, met you guys the very first, I think, the first day or two, passed resolution, right?
There is a responsible support. Banking measure. That's right. That's been, and they declared open support for Occupy L.A. and for our encampment. And even though we don't have a permit, We haven't had a permit. We got a permit for our PA, but we've never had a permit for the encampment, and they have been completely gracious.
PA, you mean your PA system?
I'm sorry, yes, the PA system.
Okay. So you guys don't need to use the people's mic. You've
we
got
are
an
now
actual
using
mic.
The people mic, and you know what? That's been a very contentious issue. It's been interesting to see how the PA system has affected our general collective versus the human mic, which I personally happen to adore.
Really? You like the people's mic?
I heard your Obama people's mic.
Did you see
mic?
The people's mic came to Obama?
I just heard that. Yeah. Thanks to you earlier this evening, but I've watched the people's mic check on Michelle Bachmann, which gave me endless joy. I won't go into the details of how I enjoyed that. That's right.
The best one was actually
Scott Walker.
Exactly. Beautiful. That was beautiful in Chicago when Occupy Chicago came and visited Scott Walker. The perfect mic check.
Wasn't it, Brad? I really think that mic check may be one of the most glorious things to come out of this movement thus far.
But I'm confused. I thought these protesters, I thought they were all Obama supporters. I thought they were all lefties. They were leftists. They're unions. It's a secret move to elect Obama. And yet they showed up. And people's and mic checked Barack Obama.
And you can hear Barack Obama supporters in the background, which I heard for the first time, shouting them down.
It's very interesting. Yeah. I'm so confused.
But we're all such a bunch of lefties.
You are. Yeah. Now, you lefties got along with the L.A. City Council, nobody paid attention to you, which other city councils may have taken note, you know. Hasn't really been a problem, except now, the L.A. City Council's starting to get a little tired of the occupiers on their lawn, their work. Worried it's going to hurt the grass, it seems? Is that
There are some ecological issues and some concerns about that. And that is, of course, sort of the line that is being towed.
Right.
And yet we're still getting incredible support. And there are, there are all kinds of relationships blossoming as a result of their support from us, of us originally.
And one of these things that have blossomed, some news today, that the L.A. City Council has actually made an offer to L.A., Occupy L.A., to get the hell off of our lawn.
Interesting.
And
we are not negotiating to get off of City Hall property. Okay. We very much want to maintain a presence there.
What the LA City Council is offering you, Occupy LA, for $1 a year.
Yes.
A lease, if I understand this correctly, of 10,000 square feet of office space in an office building, right?
That is, it's a very dense, it's still sort of, I can't speak to the legalities of the various options in play.
Right.
But yes, that is being discussed. I don't know about the 10,000 square feet
What was reported in the LA Times.
Okay.
And as you know, LA Times is never wrong.
Solid.
So 10,000 square feet of office space for the occupiers, plus a farmland you can grow your own food.
Isn't that something?
It's quite amazing.
Isn't it?
So how are the occupiers reacting to this? Well, are they going to take this offer? Or what's going on with this?
Well, it remains to be seen. It's still very much a work in progress. There's a drafting proposal. And, of course, everything at any Occupy has to be passed through the General Assembly.
Right.
So that is the work in progress that's happening right now. So we have National Guild lawyers and we have people who have been organizers from the very beginning who are all working towards those ends.
Now, Jim Lafferty had negotiated for the National Lawyers Guild, and some folks are kind of upset that he is taking a leadership role when they say, well, wait a minute, we have no leaders. We weren't in on these negotiations.
That's correct.
Okay.
I can speak to that.
You can. Oh, please do.
A little bit. Well, here's the story, and this seems to be a problem that's happening from occupation to occupation. There's rollover. So you don't necessarily get the same people at every GA, right?
Right,
you have
right.
a lot of part-time occupiers and you have a lot of campers that aren't necessarily participating in the GAs on a nightly basis, despite the growing numbers.
Right.
So as a result, there is some ground communication issues, which result in a lot of rumor. And this happens, I'm told, and I've been on all of the InterOccupy, phone calls to sort of verify. This seems to be pretty typical.
Mm-hmm.
So ground communications are really key in terms of sort of metting out how these things are proposed to the GA.
Okay.
So that's been complicated because a lot of folks, and I can explain the conflict.
What's the upshot? Do they are they mad at him for making this deal? Are they against the deal? Are they supporting this deal?
Well, it's,
and will they have to leave the lawn at City Hall? So even if they take this deal, they get that and they get to stay on the lawn?
The idea would be to maintain a presence at City Hall and also expand. So we maybe take the north side of City Hall and then move into various occupies or various other places where we can self-sustain because we are huge. We have five. We have 700 tents.
Really?
We have 700 tents, Brad.
700 tents out
and
there.
Five at least. Yeah, we have, I'm sorry. No, 450 tents and about 700 occupants.
And does the city hall know that when they're offering you this deal for 10,000 square feet of office for a dollar and farmland, do they know that you're thinking about taking that and staying at City Hall, or do they think they're getting rid of you?
No, well, they would no, all of the negotiations have been, okay, as far as I know, and I'm speaking entirely for myself and not for Occupy LA, that is the Occupy disclaimer that I needed to say right all up right. front. But no, the idea would be that we maintain a presence at City Hall and be able to get the office space, get a building maybe. We're looking at perhaps a foreclosed building. That would be a great opportunity for the City Hall and the LA municipalities and LAPD okay. to support us in terms of the responsible banking measure. So these are all things that we're negotiating in addition to maybe maintaining the north part of the lawn and various other grounds and parks in the downtown area. So this is an expansion, and this is we really want a building, Brad. We want office space so we can have Wi-Fi, so we can be a model for all the other occupiers as to how you negotiate with city council and how a city council that's open to us might respond.
You have been so far, no doubt. Let me check in with Arturo, who I think is someone you asked to call in.
I did.
Who's been at Occupy UCLA, I think, as well as
that's
Occupy
right.
LA.
And he's so, one of our facilitators. He's fantastic.
Okay, and he's been keeping track of the pros and cons and the way people are feeling about this on the ground. Hey, Arturo, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Oh, hi. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. I really appreciate your calling in here. How has this proposal been taken so far by the folks on the ground? What are the upsides? What are the downsides of this?
Well, I guess I want to start by saying that we have a division of labor that is pretty similar to every other occupation, you know, every other occupy.
Right.
You know, in every city. And I guess, you know, there is, you know, we have a media team, we have a facilitation team, we have police liaison. Some of the difficulties and the growing pains we've been going through is being able to, you know, trust each other and being able to, you know, actually be comfortable with people, you know, either making executive decisions or being trusted to bring back information to the
right.
entire group
right.
and all that. So in many ways, you know, this was an inevitability, not a plan and not an offer. What I mean is that we would have to negotiate with the city. And that's why, you know, some people at Occupy LA took it upon themselves to talk to the police.
And you guys have had a very good relationship. You guys have had a very good relationship with the police as well as the
yes.
as the city, right? And so,
yes, very positive.
So it was inevitable that somebody would just sort of take the initiative to go out and talk to some folks and begin to discuss an idea like this.
Right.
So what has the reaction been, Arturo?
The reaction has been pretty mixed. You know, of course, there's people that said, finally, somebody took up, you know, some sort of leadership role. And, of course, you know, there's the other side of the spectrum, you know, that, you know, I thought we weren't going to negotiate. You know, I don't like that you're negotiating on my behalf. But the reality is that, you know, would there ever be, you know, a dream team that you could, you know, send off to, you know, to negotiate. And I understand that, you know, there's a democratic process, but even though, like, some of our committees have been democratically elected, there's still a lot of tension. And so I think that there, what's happened is that, you know, in spite of, you know, I feel like the people that took initiative didn't want to go through that tension and were more comfortable, you know, taking the fallout.
Well, it's it seems to me, and you know, if there's some other occupiers out there who around the country who want to ring in on this, it seems it's an interesting question because you guys have been trying to do everything by consensus, but can you actually do anything by consensus? Can anything actually get done by consensus? And I suspect all of the occupations, the folks I've talked to, they're all having similar issues, but
right.
At some point we need to move forward. forward, and we need to make these decisions and perhaps make these demands.
Right.
Jeannie Dean, hold your thought, because I want to get a quick break here. We'll get back to your thoughts on this. And moving the occupation forward, you know, making decisions, making demands, stuff that needs to happen. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Oh, I've got so much to say about it.
I bet you do. Jeannie Dean is with us.
Thanks, Arturo.
Arturo is also with us. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead.
You can beat them forever and ever. Oh, we can be heroes.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Gonna stand my ground. I won't back down. I don't think these occupiers are going to back down. That's not the American spirit. We don't back down. Glad you could join us on the Mike Malloy Show, 52 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Jeannie Dean, who, by the way, Jeannie, you were great on Russian TV, RT, over the weekend. Great job singing the gospel of the Occupy.
Thank you so
very
much.
Well done. Also, Arturo is on the line with us here. Both Arturo and Jeannie Dean from Occupy LA, talking about this city council deal that is being worked out. City council has been very supportive of Occupy LA and has made an offer, apparently, to let you guys go from expand from the city hall to a 10,000 square foot office building, a working farm to grow your food.
All of the 10,000 square foot still much in play, the farm still much in play. But yes, the idea would be able to. They've been very supportive, and the idea would be able to expand. We've got huge numbers, so we could spare them some of the ecological damage you were talking earlier if we at least can expand to other.
No, I didn't say ecological. I said get off my lawn.
Yeah, that's
been. That's the ecological.
I'm going to keep your ball. Get off my lawn.
That's it. You kids, get off my lawn. By the way, we're going to take your calls. Don't know if we're going to get them in this hour or not, but next hour for sure, 877-520-1150 on this topic or any other on your public airwaves. So get in line now. All right, we're talking about the difficulty of organizing this group by consensus.
That's right.
And Arturo, actually both, Jeannie Dean and Arturo, you guys have spoken with other occupiers around the country. They're having the similar problem as far as making decisions, moving forward, choosing demands and how to move the ball forward?
That's correct. But, you know, this process, it's direct democracy. It's very slow and it can be very frustrating, but every now and then you find incredible consensus you find the common ground between your Ron Paul people and your LaRouche people and your Skid Row people, and those are glorious moments.
Arturo, can a group like this make decisions? Can you guys make a decision, for example, on this city council deal? And can you narrow your demands, or do you even want to narrow demands to a specific demand?
Right. That's the million-dollar question, and those are the sub-points to the million-dollar question. First of all, I think that if New York City and Oakland had actually let the occupiers stay, we would know if we can actually come together as a community, because, you know, it's not like the people who are occupying are, you know, not from where they claim they are. You know, these are community members that are, you know, engaging in their civic, you know, duty and in their civic role. You know, I think the fact that, you know, we can see how the Congress functions, its dysfunction, you know, has really disgusted a lot of people, and that's why they want to bring it out to the town square. As to whether or not, you know, people can make decisions by consensus, it's it's a difficult process, but again, like, you know, just to piggyback off of Jeannie, you know, we have had those moments where, like, yeah, we all agree, you know, that
we have.
Well, for one, that we're going to stay here, you know, for as long as, you know, for as long as we can. And two, that we're here on, you know, to respect each other, to respect everybody's diversity, to be, you know, fully engaged, you know, in the political process, and I think that's where it's going. You know, having more of an input as to what is prioritized in society.
Very quickly, because we're coming up to the end of the hour here, so I'll take like a 5-second answer from each of you. Do you see it with your own eyes as you're there? Is the process moving forward? It may be slow to a lot of people out there who are impatient or want them to do some damn thing, but is the thing moving forward?
I'll take it first, if you don't mind, Arturo. I believe it is. I think we're seeing some real changes and some real progress locally and nationally as a result of our efforts on behalf of Occupy.
And your thoughts, Arturo, in 10 seconds?
Definitely moving forward. If you were to say, you know, if you were to ask me at the very beginning, will we be, you know, in at day 52, I would have said probably not. So we are definitely, moving forward. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. We end it with a good note here. Thank you both. Thank you, Jeannie Dean, for being here tonight, helping us out in many ways.
Thank you for all your work.
And to Arturo, thank you guys for holding down the fort, as it literally is these days.
Our pleasure, Brad.
All right.
You're welcome.
You bet. Your call straight ahead, 877-520-1150. And even Desi Doyen may join us with some green news. So stay tuned. Another big hour straight ahead. Welcome back. It's hour number three of your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow here for another hour. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow night as well, and then it's Thanksgiving break, and Mike and Kathy Malloy will return on Monday. Thanks for joining us here as we broadcast from the Left Coast. The beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. Our thanks to Stephanie Miller for allowing us to stink up her studio. So it's good to be here. Good to have you with us. Stop by our chat room, still up and rolling tonight, as it will be until after the show, at bradblog.com. While you're there, consider purchasing a copy of Imagine Politique, a political thriller that I'm in. A fictional thriller, yet I'm still in it somehow. And let's see. Oh, and we're going to get to your calls momentarily at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Anything we've been talking about tonight or anything else that's on your mind. And by the way, I have to remind you, if you're a right winger, if you're a flying monkey, as Mike likes to call you, you are still welcome to call in and disagree with me. I love to hear from the folks who don't agree with me, and I don't know why anybody wouldn't, frankly, because I'm so right all the time. Don't laugh, Desi Doyen. We all heard you in the back. Because, you know, I was talking to Jeannie Dean actually during the break there. She said the folks down in Occupy Memphis, they're sitting down with the Tea Party folks. Well, about damn time. I mean, the real Tea Party folks, certainly the Ron Paul folks, but then, you know, the folks that the Republican Party tricked into becoming Tea Partiers, standing up against big government tyranny. Look what's going on in our streets. Look at these cops bringing their big government tyranny, tear gas, pepper spray. It's unbelievable against shredding the rights of these constitutional rights of these folks. You know, we know why Glenn Beck's not going to be there, because he was a liar. He didn't really care about big government. Andrew Breitbart doesn't really care about tyranny. or rights of the people. But those folks who were out in the streets who were angry with AIG, the bonuses that were being given, the government money that was being given to AIG, and that money was given to bonuses, to executives, those people ought to be out there with the occupiers. This is the same damn fight, Des.
I think they are. I'm hearing more and more that there are, you know, trickles of Tea Partiers that are showing up and they're having some conversations. So
good.
I think that's a good thing.
Now, I think so, too, because we're not going to get out of this mess if it's one side or the other, one fake side against one other fake side. This is the country. This is the people. This is us. This is we, the people, at least 99% of us. And so when they split it down the middle, man, they know what they're doing. They're trying to,
divide and conquer works.
Divide and conquer, yeah. And let's make it not work anymore. Okay, the reason you're here, Des, I should get to this. Of course, Desi Doyen, lovely producer of the Mike Malloy Show when I'm in here doing my thing. She's also my co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations from coast to coast and around the globe. And if you don't have it on your progressive station, I would call and complain. 6 minutes. You'll hear. We're going to play today's Green News Report right here. And I know you had some stuff you wanted to add to it concerning...
Yes, ocean acidification.
Now, I know that sounds really boring, but it's not. So hang on here. Let's get to the Green News Report, and then we'll come back with Desi Doyen.
It's Tuesday, November 22nd, 2011.
What we are seeing today is residual oil slowly coming to surface.
Meet the world's newest oil spill, now in Brazil and starring Chevron.
There are still too many Republicans in Congress who have refused to listen to the voices of reason and compromise.
Super committee fail, a win for big oil. Confirmed again, extreme weather is the new normal. Bye-bye oysters, plus... surprise! Fox News deceives its viewers about climate change.
So we asked you in the one burning question today about all this, whether it's a real threat or an attack on capitalism.
Or the more you watch Fox, the less you know.
Many of you say attack on capitalism.
All of that and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Senator Rand Paul proposing that it's possible that maybe power plant emissions cure asthma.
I knew those coal plants are good for you.
Think of the implications for medicine. Feeling sick? Suck a tailpipe.
Delicious.
Quick side note, it turns out that Senator Paul's biggest donor is the delicious, delicious coal industry.
Who could have seen that coming? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, as the world continues to turn upside down, what details do you have for us today on all the madness?
Well, meet the world's newest oil spill, now off the coast of Brazil. Now tell me if this sounds familiar. Brazil will impose fines of upwards of $56 million on Chevron and rig owner Transocean for a deep water oil leak off of Brazil's Atlantic coast that's estimated to have spilled over 100,000 gallons of crude oil. George Buck, the American director of Chevron's Brazilian subsidiary, has promised to clean up the spill.
We will work with the government authorities for lessons learned to ensure that this does not happen in Brazil again.
Ah, good. Well, it'll never happen again.
At least not in Brazil. In the U.S., the failure of the Congressional Supercommittee is good news for the oil industry. On Monday, President Obama criticized congressional Republicans for rejecting a balanced approach to reducing the deficit that included raising taxes. The failure to reach a deficit deal means that $4 billion in annual permanent taxpayer subsidies to the oil industry will remain.
Oh, thank goodness.
The oil industry, the most profitable industry in the history of mankind, receives nearly four times the subsidies and tax breaks than the renewable energy industry receives.
I thought the Republicans didn't want the government to be picking winners and losers.
They have to be the right kind of winners and losers.
I see.
Bad news for oysters and other things with shells. Researchers say ocean acidification is the cause of a crash in oyster populations in the Pacific Northwest. The ocean naturally absorbs some of the carbon dioxide that humans emit from burning fossil fuels, but high concentrations of carbon dioxide in seawater trigger a chemical reaction that disrupts shell formation for many species in the early stages of development. No shell, no oysters. Higher carbon dioxide emissions also mean that the rash of extreme weather around the world will get worse and become the new normal. That's the conclusion of the latest summary of climate change science from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, released in advance of the latest round of international climate negotiations that are scheduled to begin next week. The IPCC says that unless emissions are cut, it is, quote, very likely that extreme weather events like severe droughts and record floods that used to happen once in a generation could occur as often as every other year by the end of the century. Finally, where will you hear the most coverage of climate change?
Right here on the Green News Report?
Well, yes, that. But on TV, you'll hear it on Fox News.
Well, that's great. I had no idea.
Ah, but you won't hear the science, just the spin.
I see. The made-up stuff.
Yes, a new academic study shows that of the three major cable networks over a two-year period, Fox News covered climate change far more than CNN or MSNBC combined.
That's great news.
And Fox's coverage was dominated by denial of the science.
Oh, not so good, but hardly a surprise.
Another study shows that Fox News viewers are less informed than people who don't watch any news at all. So turn off your TV, and already you're smarter than a diehard Fox News viewer.
Carbon dioxide is basically this. Look how much pollution I just put out.
And share that with your misinformed right-wing brother-in-law over Thanksgiving dinner this week. Speaking of, we'll see you after the holidays. Until then, for more on today's stories and all of the other ones we did not get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help support the Green News Report, including a new book, Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, in which I, Brad Friedman, actually appear as a fictional character. No kidding. Check it out. It's an explosive political thriller, and it's a lot of fun. Check it out at greennews.bradblog.com. Until then, happy Thanksgiving to all. We'll see you next week. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Gobble, gobble. Well, no, don't go away. Don't go away. We're still here.
We're still here. Well, look how that works.
Well done, Des. That was good. Good report. You wanted to follow up on something on the shellfish business,
yes.
The ocean acidification.
And it sounds like a huge word, but really what it is that the ocean
is a
natural carbon sink. It sucks up about half of the carbon dioxide that we humans emit through our burning of fossil fuels. And it's sort of the evil twin of climate change. It's the one that they don't usually talk about. You know, you hear Fox News, you hear about global warming and rising global temperatures,
right.
But what you do, and that's caused by carbon dioxide, you know, as a greenhouse gas, it creates this blanket and doesn't let the heat escape. But it also does this thing with the oceans. It's actually a chemical reaction that occurs that becomes corrosive.
And
like,
this,
you know, like if you ever took a can of Coke and poured a can of Coke on something that you wanted to sort of corrode away, like your battery terminals on your car. I don't know if you've ever done that.
I've done that. It works great. Okay.
It kind of is the same thing on oyster shells and shrimp shells and plankton shells.
Well, you had, because I have seen you over the years, you know, whenever we get these folks coming by and say, oh, there's no such thing as global warming. It's all imagined. They fake the data. I've always seen you say that, or it's cold outside. It can't be warming. I've always seen you say, well, then how do you explain ocean acidification? And these guys never have an answer.
Right, because they don't have an answer because there isn't an answer. There is no other way to explain the high carbon dioxide levels that are found higher than they used to be and that laboratory tests show actually dissolves the shells of these animals. And the important thing about this particular study that they did in Yale, it's on Yale360.com. Mm-hmm. You can check it out at greennews.bradblog.com. We have all the links there.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that on the Pacific Northwest, where this heavily carbon dioxide water is sort of congregating, it's actually water that's a deep upwelling that happens seasonally in the Pacific Northwest. It's 30 to 50 years old, the carbon mm-hmm. dioxide that's in there. It's that deep. It takes that long for the ocean to turn over in that area. So that means this is carbon dioxide concentrations from 30 to 50 years ago before we really got seriously underway with major emissions. So that
could have some very troubling implications for when the upwelling of the ocean from now's carbon dioxide emissions start to unfold 30 to 50 years from now.
Oh, brother.
That's the important point
folks,
to take away.
Yeah, and folks have just no explanation for that. Even if you said that whether the data is phony, it's cold out, or whatever it is you want to say, there's still no explanation for why that is happening to our oceans.
Other than carbon dioxide.
Oh, science. Got it. All right. Well done, Des. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to get to your call straight ahead, 877-520-1150. Desi Doyne, you're just lovely. I appreciate that. 877-520-1150. Get in line now. Don't wait till it's too late. I got someone who's mad at me in comments over at Brad Blog. I'll get to that and your calls straight ahead. Brad Friedman on your Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned. If it keeps on raining, that is going to break. If it keeps on raining, that is going to break. Look for the bare necessity, simple bare necessity. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessity. Nice. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad in for Mike. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. Get in now. Do not wait. And I will get to your calls momentarily. But I had mentioned I had some somebody got mad at me over in comments at Brad Blog. Ruth, we'll just say Ruth Z, says, Brad, I'm a huge fan of Mike Malloy. I supported Air America when it was brand new. I listen daily, but I have to tell you, when I hear you say, quote, like a scared little girl, you can fill in the verb, as I have now heard on two occasions, it makes my blood boil. I know a lot of little girls who are far braver than their scared little brothers. Why do you have to make such a patently sexist remark comparing adult behavior to little girls? At worst, you should say like a scared little kid or scared little animal, but scared little girl, please, time to do a little consciousness raising and stop perpetuating the typical stereotypes. It's bad enough that the regular media are bombarding the airwaves with bimbos and imbeciles galore, Kim Kardashian, etc. Do we on the left have to tolerate such asinine remarks as the one you made tonight and that I heard as I drove through traffic and had to stay focused and not scream when I heard you say that? Thanks for listening. Well, you're welcome. I don't ever remember saying scared little girl. Do you, Tony? Does that ring a bell? Now, if I said it, she's kind of right. I disagree with Ruth there, although I probably said it as a joke, but I don't even remember saying it. So anyway, Ruth, sorry that your blood was boiling. I hope it's cooling off now, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and disagreeing with me, because I love when people disagree with me. Did you know that? All right. One Wisconsin now today announced that it has created a $10,000 reward fund to help prevent the defacement and destruction of recall petitions. We cannot allow democracy to be threatened by those who would illegally destroy recall petitions with valid signatures on them. Scott Ross, director for One Wisconsin Now, said. According to Ross, the organization has received numerous complaints and concerns from its 52,000 members about individuals threatening to destroy petitions up in the Recall Walker race going on up there. We have been covering this here on the Malloy Show and over at Brad Blog for the last several nights. And now they're offering a $10,000 reward for anyone who has evidence of someone destroying petitions in this Governor Walker recall race. If there is evidence of it and they are convicted, if they are arrested and convicted. So check out One Wisconsin Now if you have any enemies, evidence of people doing this. Fight back. It's your country. Take it back. We're here to help you. Brad in for Mike. Your calls immediately after this next break. Stay tuned.
Illinois Central Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders.
34 minutes after the hour, Brad of bradblog.com in for Mike. Taking your calls at 877-520-1150. Got just a couple of lines open if you want to try to get in. 877-520-1150. You can tweet me at the Brad Blog, and you can stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, where I hope you'll consider buying a copy of the new political thriller by Richard Averitt, Imagine Politique. He's been sponsoring us all week by making books available, signing them for you guys just in time for Christmas, a really intense political thriller in an election year, in a year where a lot of the book sounds a hell of a lot like Occupy Wall Street. Your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, Brad Friedman, actually shows up in this book as a fictional character. So check that out at bradblog.com. If you purchase one, you'll be doing a great service to me and Progressive Media. So thanks in advance. All right, to the calls. Bob in Sam Clam's Disco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Bob, what's on your mind, brother?
Hi. I've seen the defense thing become concrete now that the Super Congress failed and the cuts are actually on tap to happen.
Wait, you've seen the what become concrete?
The cuts to the defense.
The cuts, concrete might be an overstatement, Bob, yes. But okay, I got your point, yes?
Well, we should push for them, and my point is that the Tea Party should push for them. They're the original deficit hawks.
Right.
They should make sure that they happen, and I'll...
Of course, you know, Bob, they weren't really deficit hawks, right? They're just kind of faking that.
Aren't they a little kind of betrayed by this Super Congress? I mean, they weren't represented, except maybe by...
Well, they weren't represented, but it failed now. So the Super Committee just goes back to being the normal idiot committee, to quote Albert Brooks on Twitter. But, the teabaggers didn't care about deficits. They were told to care about deficits. They didn't care about it for years and years of Bush, all the wars, Medicare Part D, all the tax cuts. They still don't care about the deficits now. Otherwise, they would not allow these tax cuts to continue. They wouldn't be calling for more. So,
well, yeah, but they, they don't want revenue, presumably. But they could be talked out of that. None of them think they're going to be around very long, and they don't need to be kowtowing to Grover Norquist. Well, they should actually kind of stand for what at least they made a difference concerning, and that was that cliffhanger with the debt ceiling.
All right. Well, listen, you got to draw a distinction, Bob. There are the manipulators and the manipulated. The manipulators don't give a damn about any of this. They never cared about deficits. They never cared about, John Kerry flip-flopping. They never cared about, they care about what is politically expedient, period. They don't care about socialism. That's all made up. It's phony. Those are the manipulators. The manipulated, however, are a different story. And, there is reasons to be concerned about the deficit. There's reasons to be concerned about government spending. There's reasons to be concerned about big government tyranny. The manipulators never really gave a damn about that. And so that would be the folks in Congress. They don't care about this stuff at all. It's a political scam. It's not the Tea Party. It's the sore loser party.
Well, how do they enjoy being part of the good cop, bad cop game that was run on Obama? Don't they know that they were the reason why we had to put off two-thirds of this reduction thing? And don't they notice that they're only good for $900 billion so far?
I don't think they know much of anything, frankly, because most of the time they're watching Fox News. And as Des mentioned in the Green News Report and we talked about yesterday, if you don't watch Fox, if you don't watch any news at all,
right,
you will know more about the news than if you watch Fox.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Bob. I got to run. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Ron in Prescott, Arizona. And now I know it's not Prescott. It's Prescott, Arizona. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Yeah, good evening, Brad. I haven't heard you say anything about the Iran situation, whether you think Israel should nuke Iran.
No!
Wait, nuke?
No nuking anybody. I think you mean whether Israel should attack Iran, Iran's nukes.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I do not.
Okay, good. I thought you would not agree with that. And my, I watched part of the debate tonight, you know, the clowns.
Yeah.
And the only one who said stay out of the whole thing was Ron Paul.
Yep.
And he, but the rest were rabid. I mean, they want to attack Iran right now. They said the U.S. should be in on the attack. We've got to destroy them.
Yeah, they're idiots. They're off the rails. They're absolutely insane. Ron Paul is not insane. Again, you may disagree with him, but he actually does give a damn about the Constitution. And you might not agree with his interpretation of the Constitution or anything else. But he means it. He gives a damn about the Constitution. The other guys, they're all pretenders. All they want is the nomination, period. They will say anything to get it, no matter how absolutely insane.
And they're catering to all the Fox terrorists,
yes,
propagandists,
yes.
Zombies,
yes.
Thinking that that's going to get them the win. And they don't realize that the independents... and some of the conservative Democrats are going to hear these idiots and say, these guys are insane. They're out of their mind.
Yeah. You know, Reed, I've been talking with David Frum, George W. Bush's old speechwriter. He's the guy who coined the phrase axis of evil. And he actually knows that these people have gone insane. And he wrote a great piece that I have a difficult time disagreeing with much of it in New York yesterday, New York Magazine. And I haven't talked about it tonight because I'm hoping to get David on. I asked him if he would come on the show tonight. I forgot the debate was on, so he's on CNN duty, whatever he's got. We may have David on tomorrow night. We will have Catherine Cryer on tomorrow night, so don't miss that. But we may have David on, David Frum, to talk about this. Go read his article. That's exactly what he talks about, how his party has gone absolutely off the rails. They're gone absolutely insane. They either don't believe what they're saying, or they do believe it because all they're doing is talking to themselves on Fox News. Stuff that we have known for years about these people, but now you've got folks inside the actual Republican Party who are saying it. So go really, I recommend this article a lot. It's very instructive about how folks on the right think, both the sane ones and the crazy ones.
Give the name again and the article.
It's David Frum, and it's in New York Magazine. And hang on, let me grab it here. I got it here somewhere. Wait a minute. Oh, yes, here we go. The title is, When Did the GOP Lose Touch with Reality?
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah,
on
and the subtitle, Some of My Republican Friends Ask If I've Gone Crazy. I say, look in the mirror. And that's the guy who wrote the phrase axis of evil for George W. Bush. He also, by the way, says he's haunted by his time with George W. Bush. So I hope to ask him about that if I can get him on the show perhaps tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds great, Brad.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call. All right. Let's go to Juan in San Rafael. Hey, Juan. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having me on. I was talking to my friends about what turned around the Brazilian economy. And what it was people occupying warehouses that were closed down by corporations that were run out by the Brazilian government. And they started the factories up. The army and police went in to try and get them out. They couldn't get them out. And they started producing things right there in Brazil.
They took over the warehouses and started up factories in them?
There were factories already, closed down factories. And they started them up and started producing products. We have tons of closed down factories, probably in L.A. So if the Occupy Wall Street people or Occupy L.A. people could catalog those places and get some cooperation from the mayor like they appear to have, they might be able to start a movement of that kind because we're failing as an economy because we don't produce anything. And that's because they went overseas,
yep.
Everywhere.
Yeah. That's for sure. All right. Interesting idea, Juan. Thanks. I appreciate it. I know we got some folks listening at Occupy LA and elsewhere around the country. So let's see what happens. A lot of good ideas out there. And, well, you know, the ideas that are coming out of Occupy are so much more interesting than the nonsense that's coming out of Washington, D.C. and out of my TV set all the time. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Juan. I appreciate it. All right. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Haven't had a single wingnut yet call in to tell me I'm a scared little girl. You see, I had to say it, didn't I? I just had to say it. I was kidding. See, I was saying that a wingnut would say that about me. I was. All right. Let's go to, do I have time? Yes. Let's go to Matt in Napa, California. A lot of folks in California tonight. Glad to hear from you. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad. Hey, I'm not sure if you heard on Democracy Now! This morning there was a report from Tahrir Square that the tear gas canisters they're now identifying as being produced by an American company in Jamestown, Pennsylvania. And I'm just, you know, I think there's a lot of significance to a potential Occupy movement going there and you know, creating some international Occupy momentum, not to mention that Egypt is, you know, in the relationship with the United States and the $1.3 billion and them as the leader of the Muslim world and a potential rapprochement with the war on terror. You know, I just think that movement.
So you're saying occupy the tear gas factory.
Absolutely.
All right. I like the idea.
Especially if we continue to see, you know, the uprising in Egypt, you know, uh-huh. the way it's been the last few days. If that continues, I think in particular. And it also, you know, American companies and private enterprise in general has this way of being able to hide out. You know, the Egyptians have no access to this company. The American people have no access to pass laws that prevent them from, you know, having their tear gas being produced by, you know, outlaw governments, basically, in other countries. So
it's a good idea, actually. And yeah, I remember those made in the USA tear gas canisters in the initial Egyptian uprising, as I recall. And of course, if you want to make us stop making tear gas, well, we won't make anything in this country. You know, we have to make arms. We have to make violent crap. Otherwise, we would have make nothing, as you know, Matt. All right. Good idea, though. I appreciate that. Go occupy the tear gas factory. That's a good idea. All right. Coming back with our last few minutes and a few more of your calls as we can fit them in. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
I'll never forget the people I met. Braving those angry skies, I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. Or when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover.
My thanks tonight, as always, to engineer Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, brother. And the good folks here at K-Talks AM 1150. Also to producer Desi Doyen and Jeannie Dean helping us out on screening calls and in the chat room and being a guest of ours tonight. So thank you, Jeannie. Good to have you here. My thanks, of course, to Congressman Ted Deutsch of Florida's 19th District. And, the folks in the chat room for Earth. Thank you for Earth. And thanks to all the folks in the chat room for participating and to you, the listeners, for listening. If you get the chance, stop by, help us out a little bit more by buying a copy of Imagine Politique. If you like reading books, you'll be happy you bought this one, even though I show up in it as a fictional character. And, of course, my thanks as always to Mike and Kathy Malloy. They'll be back Monday. You'll have me tomorrow night with Catherine Cryer and some other exciting adventures, no doubt. All right, let's see if I can get everybody in here in the last few minutes. I've got, yes, Kevin, there we go. Kevin in Colorado Springs. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, good evening, Brad. Some on the right would say you're a fictional character anyway.
They wish, don't they?
Yes, exactly. Sunday night, early Monday morning, about midnight, Occupy Colorado Springs had their structures taken down. And it seems to be the MO of the mayors to do this at midnight. Apparently,
yeah.
They think
cowards.
Nobody's awake. Or,
cowards. They think they're cowards.
Yep.
They do it in the dark. They think nobody will see them. It's just so pathetic. And you can put as much money as you want into the political system, but you can't put a tent. You know, it's just pathetic. So you were an occupier out there in Colorado Springs?
Yep. Last week I went to the Occupy Move On Day of Action, and there was a bunch of young punk kid hippie people, I'd say about 69 and 53 and 43. There were the 20-somethings. We all protested for a couple hours and then got in our cars and went home.
Now, would you have stayed there had there been a tent, or is that what made you go home, getting rid of the tents?
I'm not brave enough to stay there
in the cold.
In a tent.
Yeah.
I'm one of those old hippies, I guess, 53, and somewhat disabled, but nonetheless. By the time I got home, though, I was all nice and numb. I couldn't feel the cold any longer because I was so numb. But
yeah.
It was just amazing to me to watch the protesters because they were peaceful, orderly. They came, they protested, and then they left. And
well, I think they've dropped the ball out there in Colorado Springs. They were peaceful protesters, and they didn't beat them with batons or shoot tear gas into their skulls or put pepper spray on their face.
No, up to now, I honestly...
Something's gone wrong.
As much as it sometimes pains me, I have to commend our mayor and city council.
Good.
We have not had any trouble, really, with the police except for Sunday night. If you happen to be able to look up the Gazette here in Colorado Springs, you'll see the ridiculous argument over some tables and how the police confiscated the tables for evidence.
Good
that
Lord.
That was kind of amazing to read. They took the tables after the police removed the tent to the city hall and put it on the lawn there. The police then told them you couldn't put it on the lawn. And so the police then arrested one demonstrator and took the tables as evidence.
What part of peaceable assembly and the right to petition your government for redress do these people not get? Kevin, I got to run.
Exactly.
I appreciate it. Thanks. And thanks for what you're doing out there in Colorado Springs. Go out and join the occupation out there. Go say hi to Kevin. Really. The San Diego Sal, welcome to the Malloy Show. Sorry, I'm giving you about 30 seconds total. Ran out of time. My apologies.
Not a problem. That's all I need.
Go.
Bill Press, you asked the question, is the Occupy movement working? Bill Press this morning mentioned that the phrase income disparity is appearing in press X number of times more than it did before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the exact number, so I don't want to say it's like 10 times more or 100 times more.
No, it is. It's a huge times. They were talking about all they talked about was deficits before. Now they're talking about income inequality.
Income
yeah.
disparity, right.
Yep.
Right. So I say it's working. Keep pushing. And that's, I guess, the way to close the show.
Rock and roll. Well, no. Because I still have another 30 seconds. I'm going to squeeze in Christian from Miami. Thanks, Sal. I appreciate that. Christian, now you've got 5 seconds. Nail it,
hey,
brother.
How are you? I got 30 seconds, so I'll try to say it quickly. I was trying to – I wanted to explain, and I wish I'd hear more of the Occupy movement talk about the specific things that the financial industry did to people, specifically with the mortgage industry. And I live in Florida. Basically, one of the things I never hear anyone talk about is the inflated home prices that got people wanting to get $300,000, $400,000 loans, thinking that they were in a property that was going to raise 40% a year. And the reason why I bring up that specific thing is because
I got to go, Christian. Go, quick.
If, if you look into it, that's what the banks did illegally. That was the smoking gun.
Well done. I got to go, Christian. Well done. Thanks for using your public airwaves. Thanks for joining us here tonight. We will be back tomorrow night. Same Brad time, same Brad channel. Until then, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Keep it lit, America.